begin the message, and that is a thank you to everybody for all of the condolences, all of the thoughtful emails and texts and phone calls to me, to the office, with the passing of my dad a couple of weeks ago. I really appreciate it. We had a wonderful memorial service for him here, and we were able to stream it too, so people that couldn't make it were able to kind of experience it with us, but it was a wonderful time. So I want to just say thank you to everybody for that. Let's open up our Bibles to Ki Tavoh. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 27. We're going to be getting into the Word. You know, we're getting to the end of our Torah portion. The cycle of the year is closing, and a new cycle will begin again. There's never any ending with the Lord. It always just is a continual renewal with the Lord. And so as we're closing Deuteronomy or Devarim soon, we're going to be opening up with Genesis and beginning anew. And that's a wonderful thing over the next few weeks. But as we come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is giving his final instructions to the people. This is how you are to go about your lives when you get into that promised land, when you get into the land of promise, when you get into your routines, your new life that you're going to have. And if we turn to Deuteronomy 27, verses 9 and 10, which is part of our Torah portion, we read these words. Deuteronomy 27, 9 and 10. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God." And verse 10. "You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." Now, Israel has finally become that people of God that God has been showing them that they needed to be, that he has been waiting for them to be. So they are becoming a people of God, and they are becoming of God. But with that, in these two verses we read, connected with that, absolutely and totally linked with becoming a people of God, is reading and obeying the Word of God, following the Word of God. So you see how these two concepts are very much linked. And the Torah portion goes on to talk about the blessings associated with keeping and following and obeying the Word of God, and what? The curses with not following the Word of God. And unfortunately, in the history of our people, we have done the latter a whole lot. We have done some of the former too, but it's clear. And so God says, if you are to be my people, Israel, you've got to follow my word. Now, if we're a follower of Yeshua today, all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, we have, in a sense, become a people of God. We have taken on the name of the Lord. We are living our lives as a people of God, of God. And with that, there is a complete and total linking in following the word of God. It's the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said to Israel, to be my people, you have to obey and follow my word. Today, if we're to be his people, we have to obey and follow his word, right? It's pretty clear. And it's all in there. It's all in this book that we have, the book of life, the Bible. And that's what I want to talk about today. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to start with a great scripture verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, in 2 Timothy, or in the books of Timothy, Rav Shaul, the apostle of Paul, goes out and he's planting and he's starting up all these messianic congregations, right? And he's giving charge to his mentor, or his mentee. He's the mentor of Timothy. And Timothy was in charge of the congregation in Ephesus, one of the towns in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. And what he says to Timothy is, remember, all scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I don't have it on the screen but also if you look at the very next verse, 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, the word of God makes us complete, equipped for every good work in our lives as people of God. Not some, not just the things that, you know, are holy, and we'll leave all the mundane, routine things to the world. No, for every good work, You and I have been equipped if we are people of God. So in our Torah portion, Moses was instructing the people, you got to follow the Torah. You got to follow God's word. And for us, you know, the Torah can mean just the first five books. Of course, that's what it historically means. But really, it's all of the word of God. It can represent for us the entire of the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, the holy writings, and of course, the new covenant as well, the gospels, the letters, Revelation. All of it is our guidebook. All of it is telling us who God is, what he desires, what he wants from us as people of God. And here's the thing. God is the most misunderstood person, entity, whatever you want to call it, in the world, right? There's no one more misunderstood than God. The problem is everybody thinks they know God and they don't, right? The only way we can really know God and not misunderstand God is to study his word and to live out his word. And that's our first point today in this word of life. The Bible teaches us about God. Now, that sounds way simplistic, doesn't it? It's like one of those duh moments, right? The Bible, of course, teaches us about God. Everybody knows that. But unfortunately, people get their understanding about God from every other source besides the Bible. How ironic, isn't it? People get their understanding of who God is from every other source but the Bible. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. You know, these two verses that we're coming up to now, we say it, we chant it in Hebrew and English every single week when we come to the synagogue. This is life here. This is how we're supposed to live it out. This is how we're supposed to understand God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Translation, you're to talk about them and do them all the time. When you get up, when you lay down, when you sit in your house, when you're out of your house going and doing your thing. The word of God should be everywhere in our hearts, on our minds, on our lips all the time. But the thing is, what do we have on our lips and our minds and our hearts all the time? We have what? Our favorite, you can quote and sing your favorite secular song, right, to me. You know all the lyrics. You can quote every catchphrase from that TV show that you really like, right? That's on Netflix, on reruns or whatever. You can quote it all. But can we, and I'm not saying any of that is bad, by the way. It's fun to quote, you know, sing lyrics and quote TV shows and things. But in the same way, do we have the Word of God prominent in our lives? Can we quote the Word of God? Can we, and some people are better at it than others, but do we have it on our heart? Do we have it in our everyday lives as we go about things? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 27, back to our Torah portion, and I'm just going to read two verses here, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 27, 1 and 2. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster. Now that's interesting. Adonai wanted his word to be with them in everything they went through and everywhere they went. Now, it's a little strange for us to have the Word of God on stones and plaster today, right? People don't normally do that. But back then, they didn't have pieces of paper. They didn't have, you know, tablets that they could write things on. So they put up these markers. They put up these reminders all around them about the Word of God so that they would not forget the Word of God, so that they would have the Word of God on their hearts and on their minds. And today, we might have the Word of God put in different places, not on stones, but maybe, I know my wife does, on your iPhone, right? On your lock screen of your iPhone. Does anybody have a scripture verse that they put out, their favorite scripture verse? Or maybe on your computer, your desktop at home or whatever. If you are on Instagram, some of you are on Instagram, your Instagram bio, I've seen people put, you know, a little scripture verse or whatever. Some people in their house, when you go into their home, they have a little piece of artwork, you know, and it's got a scripture verse. Some people have that. I mean, we've had that before. We have that. So setting up reminders so we don't forget God's words. Because his words teach us about him, and his words teach us how to be of him, how to be his people. They're linked. Now turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to read two verses from Psalm 119. So as soon as I read it, don't immediately go back to Deuteronomy, or else you're going to have to go back to Psalm 119. We're going to stay in Psalm 119 for a minute. Verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Well, that's interesting. Point number two this morning. The Bible keeps us from sinning. The Bible keeps us from straying. It teaches us who God is so that we can be like God, we can be his people. But it also keeps us from straying away from the Lord. When we don't have God's word predominantly in our lives, we stray. And what we do is we fill up our lives with things other than God. When you're not filling up your life with God continually, and I don't mean like every second of the day, but I mean putting up these reminders, reading your word, being in the word of God, we tend to fill up those spaces in our life with other things, not the word of God. Psalm 119, 105. Now go a little bit further. Many of you can quote this, but it's a powerful verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? We fill up these spaces of our life with things other than the word of God, but the word of God is the true light to our path. When you're walking in darkness and you don't know where to go and you shine that light, immediately you can see, right? How many of you have ever tried to walk around in darkness for any given period of time? Now, some of you eat a lot of carrots, so you probably could see in the dark, right? I don't necessarily have a lot of that. So it takes me a while for my eyes to get used to the dark. And I tend to get up, could be 10 seconds, 5 seconds, and I'm bumping into things, right? Especially in the bedroom, right? You bump into the nightstand, you bump into the dresser, and then you got all these bruises by the time you get to a light, right? Now it's not so much because we have the cell phones and you just turn on your cell phone flashlight. But the thing is, when we are walking in darkness and we don't have the light, we bump into things. We hurt ourselves. We go off the path that God intends for us. But the word of God is to light our path, truly give us the light to walk in our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. When Yeshua first began his earthly ministry, he went out into the Judean desert. And if you've ever gone out into the Judean desert in Israel, it's really deserty. It's really vast, right? If you've been to Israel and you've looked out, I mean, you could literally be in Jerusalem and you could literally look one way and there's the city. And then you look the other way and, ooh, there's the desert. It's vast and there's nothing out there. Nothing. And Yeshua was in the Judean desert. And he was tired and he was hungry and it was 40 days, a long time. And what happens is Satan, the enemy, the devil, comes to him and he tries to get him to go astray. And what does Yeshua refute the devil with? The word of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he, Yeshua, answered, "It is written, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the word of life. This is the word that keeps us from going astray. But the problem with many believers in the world today is that we don't know the word of God. We're like illiterate. We don't read and we don't know the word of God. So what happens? Every time a new theory comes out, every time a new fun thing comes out in the world, every time a new movement pops up, we follow after that rather than sticking in the word of God. We go astray. Every time you have an activist pop up or a really cool celebrity doing a 30-minute little soundbite on TV, ooh, wow, that's wonderful. That must be where it's at. Whenever we, you know, all these things can divert us, can make us go astray. But the word of God is the truth. Now listen, the word of God is not a truth, one of many truths. You know, this whole big thing today, well, that's my truth. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't care what your truth is. I don't care what my truth is. I care what the truth is. His truth is the only truth that matters. And the word of God gives us the truth. because anything else that comes along and sucks us in, we go astray. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. There's a powerful verse in Colossians 2, 8. And it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Messiah. All you have to do is turn on any device you have, walk out the door, and you're going to see the elemental spirits of the world at work. They are at work, and they're at work in a vengeance in 2020. Let me tell you what. You have to be careful. There are so many philosophies out there in the world, vying for your attention, vying for your energy, enticing you to take up this noble and righteous cause. There is no noble and righteous cause except the Word of God and the truth of God and being of God. Everything else is elemental spirits of the world and not the Spirit of the living God. But you know what? The enemy is so subtle. The Word of God can so easily be twisted, can't it? When Satan came and twisted the Word of God to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they went astray. He didn't just give them this bunch of like lies over here. He gave them a little bit of a twist of the truth. Well, God said you wouldn't die, you know? And he made it clever enough to where it sounded kind of like truth, but it wasn't. Well, what do you have today? You have half-truths out there. You have people that are taking something good and twisting it just a little bit, or maybe a lot, but they're twisting it. Don't fall for it. Be careful. Be on guard. Be in the Bible. That is the word of life. So we have to be very careful what we put our heart and our energy into. We have to be very careful what we align our heart to other than what stands up against the word of God. It's very, very clear. We have to find our identity in God, which only comes through his word. Okay, so next point here. The reality of all this is, the reason that people go astray so easily is because the things that are put up out there seem so fun, seem so wonderful, seem so easy. You know, health, wealth, happiness, it's all right there if we just, you know, buy this thing or do this thing or go this place or take up this cause, you'll have fulfillment in life. Well, that's not the truth. I mean, the truth really is it isn't in the short term as fun to follow the word of God as it seems to be to follow the world. Why? Why does it not seem to be? Why aren't people just jumping to grab their Bibles, you know, and pick them up and read the word of God? Because, and this is point three, the Bible will do this little thing and expose your sin. Nobody likes to talk about sin because it's unpleasant. Unfortunately, and this is such a grievous thing, in the body of Messiah, leaders are reluctant to talk about sin. And it is one of the worst things that they could do, is to talk about all the flowy nice things, which there's a lot of flowy nice things in the Bible, but there's also a lot of exposure of sin. There's also a lot of putting up the mirror to us and making us feel uncomfortable and exposing us because we mess up, because we don't follow the word of God. But who wants to hear that they're wrong? Who wants to hear that they need to be corrected? If you've ever had kids, you know. Your kids never want to be corrected. How many of you parents have ever had a child say to you, "Oh, I was really bad. I really deserve that punishment. You know, I'm so sorry." I mean, they come to you. No, you got to like be a detective. You got to find it out. Who took the cookies? Who took whatever? Who did that thing? You know, as parents, our job is to discipline, correct our kids so that we get them on the right path, so that they don't go astray, to punish them if we have to, okay? To correct them, to redirect them. That's one of the basic functions of a parent. Parents shouldn't, of course, discipline their kids to be cruel to them, but to teach them right from wrong because they love their kids and they want to see them succeed. Well, our Heavenly Father has to correct us from time to time so that we succeed in life and don't go astray. He wouldn't be a good parent to us if he just let us have all the candy we wanted and we get a major tummy ache, right? to put it in certain terms. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. You know, the Bible is going to, if we start digging into the Bible, it's going to expose things that are unpleasant in our lives. It's going to show us things about ourselves maybe we don't like, at least right away. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Unfortunately, that is not preached too often in the pulpit. What is preached is, oh, it's going to be all wonderful. It's going to be all puppies and rainbows. You know the catchphrase, puppies and rainbows. It's going to be all one. No, there's going to be some reproof in our lives. There's going to be some exposure of sin in our lives when we dig into the Word of God. But God loves us enough to correct us, to show us the areas, to get us back on. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. You know, the Word of God, specifically the Torah, is very misunderstood, much like God. Interesting. And so people don't understand the role of the Torah. People don't understand the role of the Word of God. The Torah is not bad, and the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, goes through great pains in the book of Romans to explain that it's not bad. The problem isn't the Word of God. The problem is us, okay? Romans 7, 7 through 9. "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" Verse 8. "But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died." Now what's going on out there is people living apart from the law, where sin is lying dead, so to speak. Nobody's talking about sin, nobody's talking about the bad things. But when we come in and we start reading the Word of God and we start letting it expose us, the commandment springs alive, we die. Our sin is exposed. It shows us that we're not perfect. It shows us that we have a sin problem. We have a fallen sin nature. And the standard that God has for us in His perfect word, the Torah, the righteousness of God, is right up here. And you and I, even on our best days, as the prophet Isaiah says, we're like filthy rags. We're down here, way down here. So there's a gap. There's a gap, and that what's in the middle of that gap are things like bitterness, jealousy of other people, hatred. We all battle these things. The most altruistic and loving person has to be honest with himself and say that they have these issues in their life, okay? That they are, who can, I mean, the Bible says this throughout the Bible, who can say that they're without sin? Says that in the Old Testament, says that in the New Testament. Who can say that they have never sinned against the Lord? I was just reading Job the other day. I think it's in the end of Job. It says it there. It's like, it's true. The Bible exposes our sin. But here's the beautiful thing about the Word of God, right? It exposes us. It shows us how bad we are. But then it shows us how merciful and loving our Father is. Because the last point is, the Bible leads us to redemption. The Bible doesn't just leave us. God doesn't just leave us there exposed. Ha, look at you. You didn't live up to what I gave you. You messed up. No. The Bible, the Lord, through His Word, leads us to redemption. What better redemption than Yeshua, than the Messiah, the one who came to die for our sins so that we can be reunited with God. We can be redeemed. John 3:16, most of you know this by heart. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." He doesn't want us to stay in that perished state. He wants us to go to the eternal life state. He loves us enough that He provided the means of redemption. And the Bible leads us to that redemption, His perfect standard. How does it do that? How does God connect us back to Him after we see all the things that we have done? If you look at the history of Israel and you see how bad the sin was, just like you look in our country today and you see how bad. Look, there's nothing new under the sun, by the way. 2020 is not all of a sudden the bad year. I mean, 2019 was pretty bad. 2018 was pretty bad. A couple thousand years ago was pretty bad. There's nothing new under the sun. But the problem is, it's always been there. The sin has always been there ever since the fall. But God in his mercy has taken the word of God and has brought the word of God to us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the word, now the word of God in Genesis chapter 1, if you want to go look at this, the word of God was there in the beginning, creating the world along with the Lord. And the word of God, John 1, 14, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, Yeshua, full of grace and truth. I love the fact that Yeshua is full of grace and truth. Yeshua didn't come with a rod the first time, full of truth, period. He came full of grace and truth. Now, he didn't come also with just a bunch of grace. Hey, you do whatever you want. It's okay. You know, standards are a little relaxed. I love you no matter what. Of course, he loves us no matter what. But there's standards. He comes full of grace and also equally full of truth. I mean, that blows my mind when I start thinking about that, right? Yeshua came full of grace and truth. The Word made flesh, the perfect sinless one, came and provides that redemption for us by dying for us, Jew and Gentile alike, on the tree, so that we can be reconciled to God. This is what the Word of God, the Word of life, does for us. It's all possible because God gave us his Word. And if we are going to be people of God, you and I, in 2020, just like we were trying to be in 2019, if we are going to be people of God, we have got to be in his word, we have got to be obeying and following his word, and we have got to be reading it. I mean, that goes without saying. To know God, to follow God, you have to read his word. My prayer, my encouragement to you is that you would get in your word, that people would get into the word of God, that people would dust it off, that people would not rely on a rabbi or a pastor or anybody else to give them the word of God, but that they would get into the word of God and read it as well. It is so accessible. You probably have, I don't know how many copies of Bibles in your house, right? And there's another bunch. I mean, they have the whole Talmud on the internet. They have the whole Bible 1,000,000,000 times over on the internet. You can find any document you want on the internet. You can find it pretty much in your house. But the Word of God is so accessible to us, and we have it in so many formats today. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time with the Lord, and let's learn how to be people. Because the world's not going to tell you how to be people of God. The only thing that's going to tell you how to be people of God is the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Where would we be without direction, Lord? Where would we be without your word? The children of Israel had the cloud and the fire to lead them. Lord, today you've given us your word to guide us and direct us. You've given us, of course, your ruach, your spirit as well. But Lord, everything's got to line up with your word. It's your words. So I pray, Lord God, that we would get literate, that we would dig into our Bible, that we would learn so that we are not led astray. We would learn so that, yes, we can be exposed of the areas that we need to grow in so that we can be closer to you. Lord, we thank you so much that your word provides redemption. It shows us the path of redemption throughout. The path and the plan of salvation was there in Genesis. It was there in Exodus. It was there in Deuteronomy. And it's continued to be there throughout your word. It is one book. And Lord, it is the word of life. We thank you for that word. We thank you for who you are, Lord God. Strengthen us, encourage us today by your word. We praise you and thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together today.